Sunday we talked about reaching forward unto God, reaching forward, forgetting the past, reaching forward, and knowing that God is everywhere and He's all things and He knows all things and He can do all things. And He's got great thoughts toward us and He's already there. Wherever you're headed, He's there. Amen. Wherever you're at, He's there. Wherever you're going, He's there. You can't outrun Him. You can't outlast Him. You can't lose Him, and He can't lose you. So wherever you're headed, He's ready for it, and let's go get it. And since it's first of the year, let's go ahead and remind ourselves of who we really are in Him. You know, everybody needs to answer that question. It's one of those questions from the world that even unsaved people have. And it's that basic call to answer questions. There's questions inside of every human heart that's like, I need to find out a few important things. Who am I? Where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going? It's just that basic nature of us that calls unto God and calls unto Him for answers to find out those. And so who are we? Well, when you get saved, you start learning who you are. Or some people do. Some people get saved and never learn who they are, so they live an existence like they used to. But we have to go further than that, don't we? So let's read here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
Thank you,
Lord. So if you got saved, then you're in Christ. And if you're in Christ, then you're a new creation.
Amen.
What does that really mean? I mean, that's a funny way to say it. The King James says you're a new creature. He's a new creature. You ever thought of yourself as a creature? Well, you're a new creature. You're new. You're something different than you used to be. You were born a sinner, and now you're a new creature. Now you're a saint. Now you're born again. Now you're changed. Something's different now. So you were an old sinner, and now you're something different. You're something new. And that word new would mean recently made, fresh, recent, unused, unworn. It also means of a new kind. You're a new kind of creature, unprecedented,
amen,
novel, uncommon, unheard of.
Amen.
So the moment you got born again, all of a sudden, you were totally new, unprecedented. Now, you look in the mirror, it doesn't look like that, but the reality in your spirit is that you're a new creature.
Woo! Thank you, Lord.
And some of you remember that day. How many of you remember the day you got born again and things changed? Okay, now, most hands went up, but not all hands, because sometimes people were kids. They were 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and they didn't have such a cognizance of life without Christ. They got saved early, and they just don't see the difference, so to speak. But most of us do recognize, or maybe it was the day you repented and came fully into the kingdom of God and realized and began to learn, wow. So even though the wow sometimes is subtle, Jesus said it's like the wind, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said being born again is like the wind blows. It's hard to really put your finger on it, but there's really a wow in there.
Wow.
It's like, wow, I'm a new creature. So you don't know you're a new creature instantly. All you know is something changed. And then you're supposed to learn that you're a new creature. There are new creation realities that you and I have to give ourselves to. And if you never give yourself to the new creation realities of who you really are now, then you'll never grow in the Lord and you'll live a nominal existence as a believer in Christ. A worldly type of person. So you got to give yourself to that and get excited about that.
Right.
And so, you know, if I was to tell you about Disneyland or Disney World, you know, you have to really go there to experience it. Now, all the kids, if we were going to go to Disney World, that already got a smile from one. Already got a smile. Oh, it doesn't take much. You say that word and kids smile because they want to go. None of the adults want to go. The adults see work and labor.
Money.
But kids... kids have a delight in that and want to go experience it and want to go to every ride and want to go to everything and explore the whole thing because it's a new world. Well, for you and I as Christians, we need to have a delight and a desire to go explore our new creation realities. You're supposed to hear that you're a new creature and think, wow, what does that mean? Let me go explore for a couple years. After a couple years, you should have been able to go through Disney World. If you spent 2 years at Disney World, you'd pretty much figure it out. You and I need about 2 years of exploring our new creation realities. And then you can just dabble as you keep living your life. But you need to really hit it hard. Amen. You need to find out who you are in Christ so that you can be different. So that you can live up to this new nature that you really have down on the inside of you. See, the new born-again nature is on the inside. It's way down in there somewhere. And the more you learn, the more it can come out. The more you put to practice, the more it can come out and to where people can touch this new you instead of the old you. How many of you are tired of the old you? How many of you can recognize there's an old you and a new you? And they're always fighting. The old you, did you ever used to do that in the water swimming pool? You'd get in a dunking fight with somebody and you're trying to dunk them and they're getting out and they're trying to dunk you and you're fighting to see who can hold each other underwater? Y'all are like, how violent was your childhood? Well, no, how fun was my childhood? I mean, if you can stay on top, you're having fun anyway. That's what it's like with the old man and the new man. The new man's trying to keep that old man under the water. The old man's like, please let me out of this. And every once in a while, your old man will resurrect himself and show his ugly face. And people around you will get hurt and offended and harmed. And your new man will rise up and say, okay, I apologize for what I just did because it was really my old man, but I didn't keep him under the water properly. So this is a constant struggle. And the stronger you get in your spirit, the easier it is to just keep the old man down. Die to self. Old man buried with him by baptism unto death. That in the newness of life, I am raised with him. So that's the whole spiritual connotation that we are buried with Christ as he was buried, but we're risen with Christ. So my old man buried, my dead man's gone, and I'm alive in Christ now. That's a great picture and a great story, but it takes a lifetime, at least 2 years to figure it out. I mean, it takes a while. You gotta dig into it and find out who you really are in Christ. Who are you? What does it mean now? So let's just kind of dabble in this and hit it a bit. I'm a new creature in Christ. And what happens is the inside of me is where all the success is.
Come on.
This inside of us is where all the good stuff comes from. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart flows the issues of life. Proverbs 4 says that we're supposed to guard our heart with all diligence. For out of it flow the forces of life or the issues of life or all the substance needed for life comes from my heart. Success doesn't start with an event in life. And failure doesn't start with an event in life. Both failure and success begin inside of us, in our heart. And that's why we have to learn who we are in Christ. We have to have a different image on the inside of us. One that is compatible with God's word. And if you don't know God's word, you don't have a chance. So if you don't have God's word in your heart, then you'll likely be quite pessimistic and negative. Now, some people overcome that and they're positive. And even without Christ, they can be positive. But we're not talking about just positive or negative. We're talking about somebody that knows who they are and has a different image on the inside. And we've done this with talking about money, that poverty doesn't start with a job or a loss of job. Poverty starts with the image you have of yourself. Poverty begins on the inside of us. And if we have a poverty mentality, if we don't see things properly, if we don't allow the Word of God to change us and elevate us into our conscious capacity of trusting God and of success potential, then we'll never succeed. And any success we do have, it'll feel like it's about to disappear. We'll always have the threat of losing if we can't change the image on the inside of us. And so all of that is in our heart, and we have to put the right things in. Once we put the right things in our heart, things can start working for us. Okay? And that includes our identity. We talked about Sunday, our identity crisis. There's an identity crisis, always has been really, but in this day and age when we can compare ourselves to not just a community of a few people, but millions and billions of people around the world, there's an identity crisis. Well, who am I? And too many people have a wrong image of themselves because they're looking in the mirror and they're looking at people. So we're too body conscious, we're too self conscious, we're too people conscious. What are people thinking of me? How many likes do I have? All the fakeness that you can see on the internet, it's really just people trying to be something that they're not. You know, what are people thinking of me? Well, they're not thinking of you. You'd be depressed if you knew how little people were thinking of you. You're thinking of you, but they're not thinking of you. The only one you know who's thinking of you is God. And so he's always thinking of you. His thoughts towards you are like the sand of the sea. He knows you're rising up in your path. He knows everything. He knows you're going down. He knows your thoughts. He knows your words. He knows what you're about to say. He knows what you said. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're about to think. So he's thinking about you. And he's got good stuff planned for us. And so all we got to do is hook up with him. And matter of fact, when he looks at you, he sees something good. He's real excited to see you when you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, he's not all that thrilled. But if you're in Christ, he sees perfection. He sees your destiny. He sees the end instead of the beginning. He sees the glory of God because he gave it to you. And so if you can begin to see yourself as God sees you, you'll have a happier day. Instead of being self-conscious when you look in the mirror or evaluating yourself in many ways. Glory. So you are a new creature, but you must carry some identification. Who am I? Well, I need to know. I need some proof of who I am. That's why we need a confession of who we are. We need to know what God says so that we can say it, so that we can prove it to ourselves. I know who I am. I am a son of God. In the old day, people would focus on the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, and he is our focus. But now we learn that we are also sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That we have been adopted into the family, then Jesus is our brother, and we're sons of God together with him. And some of the ladies want to be daughters of God, but really, sons of God is the word the Bible uses for a reason, because sons, especially the firstborn son, received all the inheritance.
Glory.
And so that's the identity we have, and sons equals sons and daughters, of course, but sonship has privileges. We have an inheritance because we're sons of God. We receive all the goodness that Jesus received. So we need some proof of our identity. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter, here's just an example. Matthew chapter 5 says, Jesus said this. He said, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. So there's a couple statements of who you are. Who am I? As a Christian, you're the salt of the earth. That means people need you at school. If they're going to have any flavor of life,
come on.
They need you at school. If you're the light of the world, then that means all of the employees that you work with and everybody at your office or whatever you work, they need you to shine light on their darkness.
Amen.
And if you're not there, they'll never see the truth. There's identity right there that I'm somebody that God's trusting to salt the earth and light the world. But you got to say that to yourself a while. These scriptures changed my life. Matthew was the first book of the Bible that I read, and all of a sudden I'm seeing these words in the first few chapters like, wow, this changes everything. This changes everything. I've been living my life without this.
Right.
I've been living my life without any kind of identity in Christ. I didn't know who I was to be with God. I didn't know who I was to be in the world. I was just being my own self. Now I have a goal. Now I know the plan. Now I can be who God destined me to be. But it's because I began to learn who I am. I'm the salt and I'm the light. How many of you feel like the salt and the light? You've gone far enough with Jesus where you feel like the salt in life. Like, I need to be there so they see God. I need to be there so they understand Jesus better. I need to be there so they see a real loving Christian who's confident in God and lives it. You got to find some identity in that type of thought process.
Amen.
Glory. Faith demands that God be your only source.
Yes, amen.
In really all the arenas of life, to say I have faith in God means He's my source.
Yes, amen.
And you can apply it to acceptance, okay? I don't need acceptance from people. God's my only source for acceptance. I'm accepted.
Hallelujah.
By God. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm in the family. So I don't need your acceptance.
Right. Amen.
I don't even need you to love me. I'm loved by God.
Amen.
This is the attitude Jesus had. This is how he could look at sinners and say, oh, Lord, just forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He didn't have to be personally offended. How come these Pharisees don't like me? Oh, pray for me. My source for acceptance and love and all of life's needs is God. You can even apply it to finances and provision. My source needs to be God. Not my job, not my education, not my breaks in life or my bad luck in life. No. My source is God. And as a new Christian, you may not know that yet. You may not have practiced that yet. But real faith in God for finances means you begin to trust Him for your finances.
Right.
You still got to go to work. He will pay you through your employer
right. Or
through your clients if you own your own business. But your source is God. He's got to be. You can apply it to health. You can't lean on everything of the world and not have God as your primary source
right. For
health and healing. So you can live however you want and He'll love you the same. But true faith in God means He is my only source.
Amen.
And we can apply that to identity. God needs to be your sole source for who you really are.
Amen.
It can't be your abilities. Your identity cannot be wrapped up in your job, in what you do. Your identity can't be wrapped up in your race.
Right. Come on.
It can't be wrapped up in your culture.
Amen. That's right.
Our identity can't be in hobbies. Can't be in, I'm an athlete. Well, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a golfer, I'm a fisherman. Your identity can't be in those things. You'll fall flat. It won't feed your soul. Your identity has to come from God and God alone.
Right.
Hallelujah. And primarily because we gravitate toward the most dominant image in our minds.
Right.
Like whatever we're thinking on is the direction our life heads.
Right.
Like when I start thinking of myself as a golfer, a part-time golfer, a good golfer, a bad golfer. I'm a terrible golfer, okay? I'm a good golfer every other shot. That makes me a terrible golfer. And it also makes me a frustrated golfer. And so it's always wonderful in the wintertime. I just forget about golf. And I'm very happy. And then sure enough, the summer comes, the spring comes, and people start playing golf. It's like, oh, I got to start thinking about golf again. And then before you know it, I'm buying golf stuff. I'm gravitating toward what I'm thinking about. But when I'm not thinking about it, I'm not gravitating toward it. So you need to be thinking on thoughts from the Bible.
Amen.
What does God think of you? Start thinking about those things, you'll gravitate toward all of a sudden I'm thinking like I'm a son of God. Like every time I get up, I'm like, ooh, thanks, Father. I'm going to go do some wonderful thing. I'm going to go salt the earth today. I'm going to go light the world today. After I drink my coffee, I'm going to go salt and light. But you got to think about that or you'll never gravitate toward it. Pretty simple, right? We got to keep these things fresh in us, and that's really all we're doing tonight is just reminding ourselves we're new creatures.
Amen.
And this is important to God. Early on in my walk, I remember learning the scripture, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I began to say it a lot and think of it a lot, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That'd be greater than any person. If I'm in Christ, I'm just greater than any enemy. I'm greater than any devil. I'm greater than any problem. Greater is he that's in me than he that's... So the great one lives in me. Mm-hmm. And that changed my life. I mean, all of a sudden, I'm not afraid of anything. Amen. Greater is he that's in me than the bad guy.
Amen.
Than the darkness. Than the, and that allowed me to go preach the gospel in the face of anybody.
That's right.
Gangsters... in the hood, in the ghettos of the nation. And so we just went just with the love of God, didn't even think twice. Didn't even think twice. People would warn me, now you be careful. You went where? You better be careful. Didn't even think twice. If it's on the map, I'm going. The only way you can do that is not just being belligerent and self-assured. No, it was God assured. It was greater is he that's in me, so I'm not afraid. You need to say that until you get unafraid of everything. Spiders.
Amen.
People. Bad things. What happens is, I've seen this for years, that people, the way they talk and act, they have a huge image in their mind of a big devil. Big Satan, and then tiny little bitty God. Big devil, tiny God. Praying, begging, pleading, a little pipsqueak God and a huge devil. No, greater is he that's in me. It's a pipsqueak devil. And God is bigger than the universe. I mean, the universe can't contain God. And that same God wants to be my friend. And that same God is in me and lives in me, and I'm living in him, and he's mine, and I'm his.
Hallelujah. Glory.
And I ain't afraid of nothing.
Right.
Glory.
Glory.
Praise the Lord.
We're sons of God with power. Lillian B. Yeoman, somebody asked her, they said, you don't know who she is? Well, I don't either, but she was one of our mothers in the faith that just did some wonderful things for God. But anyway, they said to her, do you believe in diets, dieting, diets? She said, yes, a diet of giants.
Yes.
Devouring every difficulty that comes your way will make you strong, she said. So we need to feel that way. We're bigger than any giant.
Right.
Stronger than any problem. And all you got to do is beat it up by faith. Just eat it by faith and you'll grow strong.
Good word.
The way we feel is that little I moved out and big I moved in. Capital I moved inside me. My little I is just buried under the water, humbled, not trying to present itself as something to be accepted or loved or et cetera. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
But most of us identified in our life with something from the outside rather than the inside. Isn't that right? And we were quick to raise our flag of achievement or what country we're from. That's my, I identify with my country. Well, you better be careful of that, because if you got saved, you're actually in Christ now. You're hidden in Christ. We can't even find you in your country. Sports team, it's quick. I love them. Don't identify too closely with skin color.
Come on.
Or beauty.
Oh.
Or a persona. Music style. or ability. You know, I'm an athlete. I'm a nerd. I'm a golfer. I'm a redneck. I'm not a redneck. Who cares? When I was young, you know, you've heard me tell the story. Me and my friends, we wanted to be cowboys. Well, we didn't like horses or cows or ropes or spurs. Not real cowboys. We wanted to be fake cowboys. So we liked boots and hats and country music and cowgirls. And we liked cowgirls who didn't really like horses and cows and spurs. So we just liked the persona, but we didn't really want to carry guns on our hips and fight people. We just wanted to look tough. And then, I mean, this is how weird. Maybe you weren't that weird. Maybe you don't have any weird stuff in your past, but this is how weird a life without God looks. You start identifying, you collect all these things to so that you can, you know, champion something. Identify with some group, some people, whatever that might be. And so I got in the kingdom of God and my life was changing. It was so glorious. I was learning who I was in Christ. And I went and put my cowboy hat back on one day and I took it right off. I'm like, something didn't feel right on the inside. I was different on the inside. I was a new person on the inside. I took the hat off. I thought, that's not me anymore. I had used that to create a persona. And we all do that, even if it's not with a costume. Even if it's not with a costume, people do that with attitude and language and people they hang out with and things they do and things they learn. And we do it all the time to try to be somebody. And you Christians don't have to be anybody.
Amen.
All you got to do is be found in Christ.
Amen.
It takes all the pressure off of you. You don't have to fight with your little groupies. To achieve, you know, who's the smartest, who's the funniest, who's the best, who's the toughest, who makes the less mistakes, who makes the most money. Stop fighting with people.
Yep.
I remember all my college friends, you know, we're all jockeying, you know, you're always jockeying to see who can reach the top of the mountain first. You don't have to in Christ.
Amen.
I mean, once you get in Christ, you will succeed and you will achieve, but you're not competing with anybody. You're your own person. I remember when the pressure lifted off me and I could be myself. I mean, I was pretty much myself, but myself couldn't be trusted. My old person couldn't be trusted. I mean, it could be trusted for about 5 minutes a day. It's a good thing most of you don't know my old man. My old man, not my dad, my old man. Most people don't know my old man. And you don't want to know my old man. And my new man's a lot better. Now, Pastor Joni gets to see my old man every once in a while. Maybe once every 2 or 3 or 4 years, that old man will come up and do something stupid or say something stupid. She'll be like, what? I'm like, I apologize. That was my old man. Sorry about that. But you gotta whittle down that old man. You gotta get him out of you.
Come on. Yeah, that's right.
He said, put off the old man, put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and holiness. So that why would you have to do that? Because it's a lot better. Because being godly is better. It makes your soul happier.
Yes.
If you're never gonna yield to your new man, your soul will not be happy. You can be funny and you can be mean and you can be tough and you can have all this persona and you'll never be happy on the inside. You'll be jockeying for position all the rest of your life.
Uh-oh.
But if you can just be found in Christ and let all that stuff be rubbish and gone, you'll have a wonderful existence on the
Amen.
Inside of your heart.
Amen.
And that will lead to success in life.
Right.
People can pick up on that. People pick up on a confident person who's secure on the inside. Listen, we're expecting that all of you get secure on the inside. So secure on the inside that you're so confident in your inside you because you're in Christ. You're unafraid, unoffended, not touchy, not having to walk around to please you. You know who you are. And when you know who you are, you can treat everybody with love. Never have to get your feelings hurt. Anybody get your feelings hurt last year? Don't raise your hands. You never have to get your feelings hurt. Never have to get your feelings hurt. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you don't have to want to be a cowboy. I want to be a cowboy. You don't have to want to be something you're not. Glory. Sometimes you talk to a person about the Lord and they say, they'll stop you and say, but I'm not religious or anything. That's because they're not a new creature. You become a new creature and you'll have some purity about your life. You'll desire some holiness in your life. That's really what religion is. It's not a bunch of activity in a religious traditional style. Lighting candles, it's not that. I'm not religious either. If that's what religion is, I ain't that either. But people say that because they're not new creatures. They're not new creatures in Christ. They don't have a clue. They just think, I don't want to be part of that bunch that does odd things. Well, I don't really like doing odd things either unless it's in the Bible. So the greatest captivity of a person is a wrong mentality. Amen. The greatest captivity. So your freedom depends on you getting freed from that wrong mentality. Amen. And listen, most of you grew up with it. Most of us had a little some sort of twisted urban cowboy in us. Most of us grew up with something quite odd. And you know what that was. For yourself, and you got to get delivered from that. So if you keep the mentality that you grew up with, you're in for some failure. And that's why we start learning the Bible, and we learn it fast and hard and quick so that we can have our mind renewed. And then all of a sudden now I'm focused on I have a different mentality, the way I see the world, the way I see people, and especially the way I see myself. So we have to spend that time to get a new identity in our mind or in our vision. So we need to meditate on internal realities. Think about, read, mutter, confess internal realities of who I really am rather than external conditions.
Amen. Amen.
And if you recall in the Bible, this is where Satan starts messing with people. He'll use whatever has happened in your past and whoever you thought you were and all of your conditions. Familiar spirits do this weird thing where they know your buttons. They know what makes you sad.
That's right.
They know what depresses you. They know all of your insecurities. Somehow the devils know all your insecurities. They'll push those buttons and they'll keep pushing them the rest of your life until
Amen.
You stand up and say, wait Come a second. On. No. I am a new creature in
Amen.
Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus. You start quoting some scripture, and the devil's like, oh, what's he saying? What is all that? And he'll shut up if you'll finally learn who you are so much that it kind of oozes out when the devil tempts you. Then he'll start leaving you alone. But everybody has these little insecurities that you're going to have to figure out because Satan will go after your identity.
Amen.
He'll use your old identity to harm your new identity. And he'll never let you get there. He tried that with Peter. Remember when Peter, he tried it with Jesus. Well, he tried it with Eve.
Right.
With one of the first two humans, he tried it and he challenged Eve's identity.
Right.
He said, has God said that if you eat that, you would die? No, surely. He just doesn't want you to become gods or be like God. She was already like God. I mean, he lied to her to get her to sin, even though she didn't need to. She didn't need a new identity. She was everything.
Amen.
And so he attacked her identity, acting like she was missing out on something. Then he did something similar with Jesus. Remember, Jesus went to be tempted in the wilderness after he got filled with the Holy Spirit and Satan came to him. And he said, if you be the Son of God, turn those stones into bread, because I know you're hungry. He knew what was going on for 40 days and 40 nights. You're, turn this into bread. If you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, he's challenging his identity, like he didn't know who he was. And then if he was to admit who he was, then he's supposed to do a miracle to prove it. You don't have to prove something if you know who you are. People are always trying to get you to prove something. You don't have to prove anything. You got to be careful of that even in this life, because you know, people will, they'll press you, especially unsaved people, but sometimes even believers who don't know any better, and they'll try to force you to do something. You don't owe them anything except love. And then the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. They'll make you feel guilty for not doing something that they want you to do. It's manipulation. You have to know who you are in Christ. I answer to him. I don't care how much you're thinking and what you're planning. I'm going to go to the Lord and I'm going to do what he says. And so you owe that to the Lord and you owe love to the people. Well, if you loved me, you'd come over and eat the pie with me. Well, since you tried to manipulate me right there, I ain't coming. Mail me the pie. You don't owe people explanation. Yes is yes and no is no. You don't have to give them the reason. If they ask you for the reason, say, you know what? I just feel like this is my answer today. And you can do it with love because you know who you are. You don't have to get offended. You don't have to get in arguments. You don't have to have drama.
Amen.
How many drama queens do we have? How many drama kings do we have in here? Don't raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Satan went after Peter. He went after Peter's identity. Remember, Jesus said, you'd deny me three times before the cock crows. And a little girl comes up to Peter after the crucifixion and says, hey, he was with Jesus. No, not me. He's denying who he is. Hey, this is one of his disciples. This is one of his disciples right here. No, not me. What's he doing? The devil's trying to get him to give up his identity, who he is, who he's following. So none of you would do that, right? We all real tough in church. And then when it comes to it, we can't even stand up to our teenage daughter or our cousin that came over for the family. You wanted to go serve God or do something for God, and the teenage, oh, but I want you to come. Please come with us to the, okay. God was calling you to go do XYZ, and the little teenage cousin, oh, but please come with us. Okay. It's strange, isn't it? We want to please people, but we also want to please God, and you have to decide which. And when you know who you are, you can make your decisions in the will of God rather than by being persuaded or manipulated.
Amen. That's
good. Praise the Lord. All right. Y'all are listening pretty fast today. Everything's going pretty well. Praise the Lord. In the natural, thinking highly of yourself is bad. Right?
Right.
We have scripture. Don't let any man think of himself too highly than he ought to think. But in Christ, we should magnify who we are.
Right.
So I'm nothing without him, but I'm everything with him. There's songs that say, you know, I'm nothing without you and stuff like that. It's like, wait a second, flip it around. Can we also flip it around?
Yeah.
I'm nothing without him, but I'm everything with him.
Yeah.
It's like, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let's keep reading this.
Right.
Verse 17 again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is helping people make friends with God. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Here's another identity. You're an ambassador for Christ. Like, you get the license plate that exempts you from diplomatic, whatever that is, immunity. You're an ambassador from heaven in this earth. You have privileges that are backed up and protected by heaven. That's what allows you to do things and encroach in people's lives and tell them about Jesus. You're reconciling them. You're an ambassador. You get the freedom to do so. People may not like it, but you can interrupt their busy lives.
Amen.
We're ambassadors from heaven. Isn't that exciting? And we can go around telling people, be reconciled to God. We can say it to anybody, anytime, anywhere. Use wisdom in saying it anytime, anywhere. If you're a student at school, don't be preaching Christ while the teacher's talking. During free time, though, you can do anything you want. While everybody else is doing what they want, you can do what you want. At work, some companies don't want you talking about religion, but you have a freedom based on the United States Constitution that allows you to talk about anything you want to while they're talking about anything they want to. So if they're spending their break time talking about sports, you can talk about Jesus, and you're protected by the government. Now, don't do it on company time and be smart who you're talking to. You don't want to create unnecessary problems for yourself. And please don't get fired by being a Christian witness. Be wise in your Christian witnessing, okay? Do it at lunchtime. Pick them off one by one. Don't do it when everybody can look at each other and get some strength together and go fight you. Pick them off, man. Be a sniper. But you have a right to do it. Just be smart about it. My rule is don't ever get fired because of your Christian witness. They need you there. They need you to be wise enough to preach covertly. What was I saying? I was reading. I wanted to read verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become, or be made, I like the King James, be made, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Hallelujah.
So he made Jesus to be sin, like he turned Jesus into sin. It's a hard concept. But on the cross, he put the iniquity of us all on him and turned him into sin, so that he could turn us into righteousness.
Wow. Glory. Wow.
So I'm now righteous. It's like if there's, well, what is righteousness? Righteousness is rightness, or being right with God, right standing with God, the ability to come into the presence of God without any sense of inferiority or sin. That's called righteousness. And so I like to say it this way, that if I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, then if there's anything right about Jesus, and I'm in Jesus, then if there's anything right about me or about Christ, I'm in him. If there's anything right about God, it's me. If there's anything right about God, it's Christ. But if I'm in Christ, then if there's anything right about God, any right thing concerning God, it's Christ. And if I'm in Christ, then it's also me. So I'm the righteousness of God.
Amen.
In Christ.
Hallelujah.
I'm the righteousness of God. Can you say that? Say it out loud. Say, I am the righteousness of God. And that's really, I mean, think about it, how a parent would feel when they birth a baby, how parents feel when they birth a baby. I created this thing, and this thing is right. This is a wonderful creation between me and you, honey. This is the most perfect thing in the whole world. Isn't that what they say? Isn't that the feeling? This is the most perfect thing in the whole wide world. And that baby has righteousness with the parent. Well, God created us in Christ Jesus. He birthed us, called us sons, put his spirit into our hearts, and he's looking at us saying, "This is, if there's anything right, it's this person right here." This is how wonderful this whole relationship with God is. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am safe and secure in the hands of God. I'm everything in Christ, nothing without him, everything in him. I'm in the family. See, this is my identity. So all of a sudden now, I'm a little more confident. All of a sudden, even though the past might have had a lot of holes in it, even though our upbringing wasn't quite perfect, all of a sudden, God actually likes me. He's looking at me thinking good thoughts. I might as well think of myself. He's a lot smarter than me. God's a little bit smarter than you. God's pretty smart. He's so wonderful and holy. You got to trust that. Since you can't see him, you got to trust that he's so wonderful and holy. You got to trust his words, that he knows all these plans he's thinking towards you, that he's never forgotten you, that he knows everything that happens to you, everything that's going to. You got to trust those words so you can recognize, wow, the creator of the whole universe, he accepts me, esteems me, loves me, holds me dear and close. All those wonderful things, all of a sudden now, I ain't afraid of you. I ain't afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of any evil. All of a sudden, I'm somebody. I'm not trying to be somebody. I'm not fighting and jockeying for position. Because why? Because we know who we are. So who are we? We're sons of God. Righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Let me read just a few statements here. The word is Jesus personified. And meditation in the word is like a visit with Jesus.
Yes.
So you need to visit with Jesus.
Amen.
Let some of his words sink into your heart. The word is God's attitude toward his sons and daughters. The word became flesh once. Now the word is becoming, or now we're receiving that same person of Jesus through his spirit. So his words are spirit and life. So you have to receive now, not the person in the flesh, but in the spirit. And that's why it's a little different than just hanging around the campfire with Jesus. You got to get to his word so it can form inside you. Praise the Lord. If you find yourself frequently in need of others praying for you, it's because we don't know who we are. Now, we're supposed to pray for all the saints, and everybody should be praying for each other, yes. But on the same side of the coin is the fact that, you know what, I ought to be able to pray for myself too. Because if I know who I am, I can just go straight to him. I don't need to go tell my brother, go talk to Father. I just go talk to Father myself. Hallelujah. So you can't neglect the high estimation of God's word in your own soul. So that's why we harp on the Bible, right? Like if we could, we would beat this into your head so that it could get into your heart. But we harp on the word of God, not so that we can control people and not so that we can do all this church stuff. It's so that you can get this inside of you and then all of a sudden you esteem his word highly. And God watches over his word to protect it and to perform it. He watches over this word to perform it. So if you put this word in your heart, he's watching over you. All these things give us strength and confidence and our faith grows. Then we can touch him. Each one of these truths that we've said tonight, any one of these could allow you to reach up and grab a miracle from God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I remember about 25 years ago, the Prayer of Jabez book came out. Y'all remember that? And I'm like, what in the world is that? You know, I was already growing in the Lord and preaching and teaching and stuff. And it's like the what? The Prayer of Jabez. Everybody, the whole world just went crazy reading the book of Prayer of Jabez. I'm like, I read the scripture they're using. I'm like, not bad. It's a prayer from the Old Testament that just a few verses that had anything to do with Jabez. But it said this, that Jabez called on the God of Israel saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. The real principle of it is that, hey, anything you ask, you can receive. That's the real principle of it. But people started using this to try to change their life. And it was a big revelation from the author. And it was good. I mean, it was a good book and it had inspired some people and probably helped some people. But you know, the true reality is he's asking God to bless him. If you get past the cross, I'm already blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And so, sure, you can ask God for anything, and you can ask him to enlarge your territory, you can ask him to protect you and all those things. Sure, you can. But the truth is, we got it even better than Jabez had it. The truth is, we don't have to pray some far-off prayer to see if God could give us a little favor. We're already in his family. We're already in him. I mean, we're blessed and seated with him in the heavenly places. It's just different. And so as you learn who you are, the way you talk to God's different. The way you act is different. Praise the Lord. I don't want to put down people that love the prayer of Jabez. You can pray that the rest of your life if you want to. I remember I was talking to a friend of mine who was saved, but he didn't go to church at all. And he said, man, I got hold of that book, The Prayer of Jabez. And man, it's just a wonderful book. I'm like, however God wants to grab your heart, man, it's fine with me. And that's how you got to take a lot of things, because listen, you know, not everything's said and done exactly like maybe the Bible would say it or do it, but so what? Sometimes the answer is just so what? God can use anything. Anytime a scripture is anywhere, God can use that. Anytime anything is preached or said that's even close to the Bible, he can save a soul. Paul said that. He said, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Talking about people going around, you know, acting like they're somebody or saying something. They're not even saved and they're trying to preach and cause a following. He said, hey, just let them go. Whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. He can use anything to help anybody. Amen. I remember that. I remember Brother Copeland telling the story about that. Somehow he was on television in Australia. Or he wasn't on the television. They were showing a commercial in Australia. And the commercial was a liquor commercial. Liquor, alcohol. And it was about, you know, this whiskey is smooth or whatever. And so they showed a clip of Brother Copeland preaching on television. And the scripture that he's in the middle of preaching, you know, and he's getting into it, and you know, and he's talking about when Peter had the revelation, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that was the clip they showed. And then they get back to the liquor commercial, and the commercial says, that guy is not relaxed, but this will relax you. And I thought, that is so perfect. Like the one frame that they showed was him having the revelation that Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. So you could go through the scriptures and you know, as you read the Bible, maybe you do this and you go through and you start reading, finding out who you are. When the Bible says something about who you are, what you have, or who you are in Christ, or what you have in Christ, and just mark them and say them and quote them. You know, there's hundreds of them. Y'all want to go through them tonight? Sure you don't. Let me just run through a few so that you know what I'm talking about. So, number one, you're Jesus' friend. He said, I didn't call you servants, I called you friends. So you're a friend of Jesus. You can wake up thinking, if you don't have any friends, at least you got Jesus. I've been chosen by Jesus to bear much fruit. These are in John 15. I'm a saint, a holy person, Ephesians 1. I'm a citizen of heaven, Ephesians 2. I am God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I mean, just what? God made me to do good stuff. I'm a prisoner of Christ so that I can help others. I'm righteous and holy, Ephesians 4. I've been made spiritually alive just as Christ is alive, Ephesians 2. I've been raised up and seated with Christ, Ephesians 2. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 2. I'm firmly rooted in Christ and now I'm being built up in him, Colossians 2. I'm spiritually clean, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. I've been buried, raised, and made alive with Christ, Colossians 2, 12. My life is hid with Christ in God. Like you can't even find me without finding Christ. That's a great goal, right? A great goal for your identity is that people looking for you can't even really find you. without finding Christ.
Hallelujah.
I'm hid in him. And matter of fact, you could apply it to the devil. The devil can't even find you.
Come on. Amen. That's right.
Build that into your soul. Build that into your soul. The devil can't even find you. You're in Christ. And so he knows if he's going to mess with you, what he's going to get is Jesus Christ. He's going to get somebody who knows who they are, somebody who knows Scripture, somebody who can resist him at first try. He knows he's not going to be able to spend much time with you before he even approaches. If you can build into your soul that your life is hid with Christ in God, he doesn't stand a chance against you.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.